Okay, Lisa.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that too, because I think a lot of people say, you know, we don't choose our family, but we really do. I mean, when, if you, like, I believe in past lives and reincarnation, all that kind of stuff. And I think that we have this karma with certain people, and they reappear in the various lives we have. And there's a law of relationship that I think you guys have heard me talk about a lot. It says that we're all connected, and we're here to help each other learn and grow. So we may, you know, have thoughts growing up that we wanted our dad to be Fred McMurray or Tom Hanks, you know, and then we end up getting Homer Simpson, and we're like, why me? Why did I get this dad? Why can't my dad be like everybody else's dad, the, you know, coach baseball or whatever? But you get the dad you get for a reason. You get the dad you get because that's the dad you need in this life. And, you know, I had to discover that, and I, you know, took me a while. And growing up, I wasn't very close to my dad at all. I had a divorced family, and my dad moved away with my brother, and my sister and I were with our mom, and it was very much a divided family. But, you know, there was, it was just awkward. It wasn't like bad, it was just awkward. But as my dad got older and I got older, and as you get older, you get wiser, you know, and you mellow and everything, we started to have a really good relationship. And he ended up moving down here. I grew up in Northern California. He ended up moving down here, and he moved into Leisure Village. And we started really having a relationship, and it was very nice. And when he was at Brookdale, which is also in Camarillo, I always thought we had nothing in common. He was a sports guy. He liked football. He liked baseball. He liked golfing. I'm not that person, right? But he discovered this love for writing poetry. And I write poetry, you know, and I write and that kind of thing. And so we had that common bond. So when he was at Brookdale, in order to give him like socialization and stuff, because he was like in his 90s when he moved to Brookdale, I helped him start a poetry club. And he was the only guy in the poetry club, so he was very popular. And all the women would bring, everybody would bring a poem, either that you wrote or that you liked. You didn't have to write the poem. And then we'd recite it. We'd take turns reading the poem that we brought for the week. And sometimes we'd have themes and sometimes not. But my dad loved to write love poetry. Wow. So you can imagine how the women were just melting. And William, that is, I mean, it was great. So anyhow, that's how my dad and I finally bonded. You know, when I was in my 50s and he was in his 90s, we finally bonded. But it took a while. But I'm noticing also that even though my dad wasn't present in my life a lot, I had a lot of father figures in my life. And that was remarkable, you know. And Swami Sarvadevananda is one of them, who's going to be here next week. And I really hope you guys can come to see him, because he used to come here every month for our bhakti yoga class. And he hasn't been coming because of COVID and the lockdown and everything. So this will be the first time that he's back. And it really is special to have him. He's so in demand all over the country, but that he's coming here is really special. And I hope you can come and join us and really give him a warm welcome and let him know that we appreciate him and his wisdom being here. It's going to be amazing. And I'm going to bring samosas. So that's like really good little like Indian sandwiches. They're delicious. So you don't have to have dinner. We'll have like dinner after and chai, and it'll be really nice.
I just want to say yes, ditto. I love Swami Sarva. Yes, we got that. I know how to say it too, but it's like I'm like Buzz. I go, I freeze.
Swami has his time. Yeah,
Swami. And just being in his presence, you don't always understand every single word he says, but you walk out high as a kite. I don't know how else to say it, just being immersed in his energy and his wisdom.
Yeah, yeah. He's amazing. So I just wanted to share with you something else that happened to me recently that I think it is interesting. Okay, so my mom had a brother, and he passed away early on. I think he was like 29 when he died. So I never really got to know him. But I recently found this box, a shoebox, I mean literally a shoebox, filled with letters that he wrote to his mother when he was serving in Vietnam. And I thought, I'm going to start typing up these letters, you know. And through these letters, I've gotten to know my uncle. And it is amazing. He was 18 years old when he went in the service. He was a kid, and he was on this boat in the middle of a war. And the things I'm learning, it's amazing. And now I'm feeling like I have a relationship with him, even though he's not physically here. And one of the nicest things that happened was in April of 1962, he wrote a letter, and at the end, he wrote, "Say hi to Corrine and Bill and Lisa for me. Tell her happy birthday." That was my one-year-old birthday in April of 62. Is that like so sweet? Yeah. So, yeah, so I think men are definitely important to us. We always need a balance of the male and female energies. There was a sociological study done recently, and it said that kids thrive when they have both the energies in their life. And they gave an example of a kid climbing on a jungle gym at the playground. And the dad saying, "Come on, go for it. You can do it. You can do it. Come on, go, 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 go." You know, that kind of thing, rooting you on and saying, "Higher, higher, jump. Come on, reach." And the mom's like, "Be careful, honey. Come on, be careful, you know, go." And that's kind of what we need in life, is we need both. So, you know, there's no substitute, and life is good. Life always brings us what we need when we need it. It's all divine timing.
It is divine timing, and it's really interesting because I've told this story, I hope it's not boring, was 37 when I got pregnant with Katie, and it was right after my dad died, and I was in such grief, I got pregnant by depression. I wasn't paying attention, and I honestly thought I had a huge career at that time in Hollywood. I was doing very well. I was the major money maker and a lot of other things, and I said, "What am I going to do here, you know, to Patrick?" He goes, "Well, I think we're having a baby." So when pain comes and suffering comes, it absolutely creates new birth. That's all I can tell you. And once she popped out, it was great. It was like, welcome home. It was great. And so you never know what pain, whether you had not the attention you needed from your father, brings you, like those figures that come in that are wise. Patrick also, he was a wonderful, I thought he was a great dad, especially with Kate. He was really good with girls. I don't think he was as comfortable, because his dad wasn't around growing up, with Spencer, although they were close and they loved one another. But he was not the let's go to Boy Scouts guy, you know. And I said, I married my mother the first time, who was, I don't know how else to say this, very materialistic, very much of this planet. And so then, but we found out after she died from my father, he told us all my mother's secrets. And instead of being mad at my mom, we wanted to kill my dad, because she had kept these secrets from us all. And one was, she'd had a child out of wedlock when she was 15 in the early 1900s, and who was adopted out, and then she couldn't have children. And the other thing is, when they married and before they adopted my older sister Dee Dee, She was a practicing alcoholic, and she gave up her practice after Dee Dee was born, and she became a dry, angry alcoholic. And so Patrick, I didn't know, because I never grew up with alcohol in the house or anything, and so I had no idea, and I said, you know, Patrick, I'm so smart. I married you, and I chose you. You're the total antithesis of my mother. You're compassionate. You're kind. You are wise. You are so much into seeing beyond on the surface. And he says, no, Pam, you just married another dry, angry alcoholic.
No.
I said, no. But then my daughter has married someone who is that great father. Oh, he's just a magnificent dad, and also has the compassion of the family and the loving and nurturing that I gave my children. Patrick did that also. If it comes to family, whether it's extended family or immediate family, he said, no, we have to spend that $12,000 because it's family. And I say, are you kidding me? Don't spend the money. Don't spend the money. But I am very, very fortunate to have gotten the best of both of my parents, and I realize now how much my mother did give, not only to us, but to so many around me, and I didn't recognize it at the time. My father, I always knew, adored us, and I realized in later years that my mother did too in her own special way, but how you take the good and carry it onward and upward, and you take the challenges and you live and breathe and have new birth from them.
So nice. Yeah, the other thing I wanted to touch on is, you know, where the topic was honoring the legacy of the father. And I think that's kind of a heavy burden for any person to bear, you know, a legacy that you have. What's the legacy, you know? And I think that we need to kind of take the pressure off a little bit and just say, Yeah, we have a dad, and you know, everybody's got a dad, but the truth is we all share the same father. We could call it the father, the mother, the universe, the energy, the God. That is our father, and that's what we need to remember all the time. I texted Swami Sarvadevananda this morning a happy Father's Day meme and everything. And of course, he wrote me back, and he said, you know, Sri Ramakrishna, God is our father. I'm like, oh, yeah, thanks for the reminder. You know, so he's like so sweet. He doesn't want to take the, I mean, it's a burden for anybody, you know, that you have to have this legacy and be perfect and be remembered and all that kind of stuff. No, we're all just people. When it comes down to it, we're all just people. We're all just figuring it out. We're all just helping each other the best we can and doing what we think is right, you know, and we have to have a lot of forgiveness in our hearts for not just our dads, but for everybody, because that's the way it is. And the only other one thing I want to say is dad jokes are really popular right now. So do you know what the difference is between a black-eyed pea and a chickpea?
Nope.
The black-eyed peas can sing you a tune. The chickpeas can only hum us one.
Oh, mom.
Yeah. Okay, I'm done. You can close.